episode is brought to you by D2DU, the number one online sales training platform in the door-to-door and direct sales industry. With over 200 interactive and industry-specific videos, learn from the top 1% in the industry how to maximize sales in record time. In-depth training that covers all the skills you need to succeed in your industry. Go to d2du.thed2dexperts.com to enroll today. If you are in solar, roofing, alarms, or pest control, then D2DU is definitely for you. Go to d2du.thed2dexperts.com to enroll today.
Hi, everybody. My name is Sam Taggart, and this is the DDD Podcast. And I am doing this one solo again today. And this is, again, another section of my book, The Achievement Framework. And this whole principle comes from the chapter Knock. And, you know, for the last forever, I've knocked doors, basically. And this whole piece is about this non-negotiables or not quitting. But before I dive in, a couple announcements. We have the recruiting summit coming up September 23rd through the 26th. I think we have about 20 tickets left. And that's in Austin, Texas. So 3 days on recruiting, training, how to do that. Business boot camps coming up August 23rd and 24th. We have our sales boot camp with Cole Hatter and Cody Sperber in Arizona coming up August 31st and 1st of September. And then Door-to-Door Con pre-register tickets are now available. So if you want to go get on the pre-register list for the early bird ticket pricing that's launching here in a hot minute, I'm not going to say the dates. Go make sure you guys go pre-register for that. Coming up January 13th through the 15th. Well, VIP's 13th, 14th, 15th, general admission. And then we're launching a sick basketball tournament this year. It's going to be epic. So anyway, I'm going to dive in. So the first principle of knock or this element of not quitting comes from non-negotiables. And Ed Milet said, most salespeople focus on the price they're paying. That's low-level stuff. Forget about the price and what's it worth. And this element of like pain and suffering and going through some hardships has been a really hot topic for me lately. And, you know, one of the things that's helped me is when you're in a good state, like let's say I'm feeling good today, there's not like craziness that's happening, is when you negotiate, you pre-negotiate what your end result's going to be. And so if we pre-negotiate and then we don't allow renegotiation during the thick of it, that's going to help us achieve a lot more. And so I remember when I was training for my first marathon, I'd never run 10 miles. And I remember the first time I was like, I'm going to run 10 miles. And I was like 5 miles in and I went all downhill. And then the other 5 miles was running back uphill. And I was like, well, that was stupid. And I'm like dying. So what I ended up doing was just saying, I'm going to make it to that sign without stopping. And so I'd run and then I'd stop and walk at the sign. And then I'd be like, all right, I'm going to make it to that plant. And without stopping. And I vividly remember this element of like, I'm going to get to this point. So I'm going to kind of draw this. So I was like, look, here's my sign or here's my trail. I'm going to make it to this. And then I'm going to run again. I'm going to make it to this. And I'm going to walk. And then, and it's just like life's paths are all about not when I'm in this running and it's painful right here. In my head, emotionally, I want to renegotiate. And if I allow myself to renegotiate during these times of like hardship, those are the biggest limiting elements in life. And so, finish what you started. So like I've been on this physical, and I've done the same thing spiritually. I've done the same thing mentally. I've done the same thing with writing. I'm writing a really challenging book right now, and I'm pushing myself. And the only way to grow is to push beyond those limits, which then is going to cause this emotional discomfort. And you think of like Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, Satan was like, hey, I'm going to tempt him with his own powers. Like, hey, if you're God, like, couldn't you just come off the cross and like end all this? And Christ, knowingly that he had to like stop his superpowers, didn't renegotiate in the pain of being crucified, said, hey, I'm going to keep going through with this. And that's the element of not renegotiating what was already pre-negotiated. And another way to say that comes from this book or the podcast that I did with Tim Story, where he says, don't fold while you're unfolding. And basically it's the whole element of like a hurricane. So you think of like palm trees. I'm not the best artist, but I'll give it a shot. So you've got these palm trees, right? And if you think of a palm tree and the elasticity of its trunk, when a hurricane hits, these things are going to bend almost like completely like this. So if you look and watch videos of hurricanes, they literally hit the ground almost, and then when the hurricane's done, they pop right back up to, you know, their normal tree, right? And so you ask yourself, like, the strength and elasticity of ourselves when there's hurricanes coming at us is going to be a huge factor in our ability to kind of hit the ground and then pop right back up and come back for more. And you think of, like, its environment. So you've got this pine tree. So, or you take like any other kind of tree, and they're not used to hurricanes. They didn't grow up in the coastal region. And a pine tree is going to just, if a hurricane wind type happened, that thing would snap right in half, and it would crumble. And so you have to think, like, what's the elasticity and what's my flexibility in these hardships, so I don't crack right here and I can still withstand the hurricane and I can come back for more. And so that's kind of an interesting example of that. And one of my biggest regrets sometimes is when you cut out short or when you break too early. And there was a summer, and this is for everybody that's selling door to door in the summer right now, is I did 1 year 298 accounts. And I remember, you know, it's like we finished the cup, we won the tournaments, you know, it was about a week early than the summer was gonna finish. I still had like plenty of time on the clock, but I had emotionally drained myself as if I couldn't knock another door. And I remember calling my regional, and I was like, look, I'm on my way home, we won the tournament. He's like, you're at 298 accounts, why wouldn't you just put two more accounts in? And I said, well, I'll do that when I get home. And he's like, oh, you will? You'll do it in Utah instead of Texas? And I was like, yeah, I could find two accounts. Never found those two accounts. Why? Because I had kind of mentally shut this chapter and mentally moved on to a new chapter. And oftentimes we have life regrets like that, where it's like, I can never say I did 300 that year. I'd gone on to do more accounts years, you know, to come. But like, what's interesting is I always regret not just staying and sticking it out, because I had a goal to do 300 and I limited myself. And then I always was like, yeah, I'm a 300 account rep that year. And I was like, no, I did 298. And so oftentimes we get all the way to the finish line. It's so interesting watching the Olympics. So you have a lot of these qualifying rounds where these sprinters would go all the way and then they just kind of coast through the finish line. But then when they are actually in the thick of it, in the real sprints, is they're running all the way through the finish line and not stopping early, not quitting, not renegotiating what you said. Okay, that is the finish line. I sprint all the way through the finish line is a huge piece of like this emotional resilience. There's a word that the Stoics would use called apatheia. So apatheia is Stoics sought freedom from all passions. It meant eradicating the tendency to react emotionally and egotistically to external events, so things that happen to us and the things that cannot be controlled. So if you think about it, like when I'm thinking about knocking and I'm thinking about goals and I'm thinking about achieving, I'm thinking about going out and being a top performer in life and business, is you have all these external events. You know, this person was rude, this person spit on you, this neighborhood, no one was home, whatever that is. And for the Stoic, it was the optimum rational response to the world for things that cannot be controlled if they're caused by the will of others or by nature. Only one's own will can be controlled. That did not mean a loss of feeling or total disengagement from the world. The Stoic who performs correct, virtuous judgments and actions as part of the world order experiences contentment and good feelings. And so I think that there's a proper balance between feeling the pain of external events. It's like, this did happen. Like, this is a real thing. Like, I did get rejected. There was no one home. I did sell zero. But it's that that emotional balance of saying, okay, I can process that. I can live with that and still feel the gift and find the joy and be happy and content and be present with what is. And that's a huge piece of this emotional resilience, is just that ability to kind of have this apatheia towards things. So the next piece is don't quit, right? So like, so many people quit in life and it becomes a pattern. And if you think about it, I mean, I've hired hundreds of direct salespeople over the years, and I watch the people that quit within the first 3 days or first week, and I'm like, great, they're going to move on to go and make money somewhere else. And then you watch how they handle that next position. Maybe it isn't as hard, maybe it's harder, but it's, they're building these patterns of quitting. And so ask yourself, like, am I going to rewrite the pattern maybe that I had previously created in my inability to stick something out? And, you know, if like, let's say I commit for this full summer, well, then I commit for the full summer. And, you know, I remember that first year calling my mom, I almost wanted to quit. Like, it was after the first week, and I was like, I'm done. Like, this sucks. And I vividly remember my mom being like, Taggarts aren't quitters. Like, you said you're going to go out and sell this summer. You're going to go out and do it. And I was like, okay, I won't quit. And so no matter if it was up, down, bad, good, weather, whatever, it was, I'm going to stick this out. And it's just how I was raised. And so Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich talked about 3 feet from gold, this kind of 3 feet from gold analogy, where it comes from the young man during the gold rush, after mining away at Colorado Gold Mine for many months, he finally quit. He sold all of his machinery equipment to the junk man. He's like, I've been mining and mining and mining, and I haven't struck gold. And then the junk man, who sought counsel prior to resuming digging, his engineer advised him the gold would be found just 3 feet from where the previous miner had stopped. And, you know, this concept of like, you go until you find the gold. And a lot of times, like, we don't realize that every hit, you know, if you think of like chiseling, if I'm chiseling at marble, I hit 99 times and I don't see any crack, but it's the 100th hit that finally cracks the marble. Well, was it the 100th hit that cracked the marble, or was it a combination of all the 99 where I saw no result that actually created the impact on the marble? And so often we forget that principle of just many hits and repetition, even though we don't see the results that we want, is still a part of that process. This is an interesting part. Let's talk about abandonment. And I'm going to tread lightly with this, but I'm going to share something that may be a little vulnerable for me. So often people fear like letting us down, right? So it's like, oh, I don't want to let you down. Or we fear other people letting us down. So it goes both ways, right? So employees quitting, to relationships crumbling, to parents separating, to, you know, you're counting on somebody to do a specific job, and then you're like, oh, wow, you let me down. Or me, I don't want to let my dad down because he expects the world of me. And so we get trapped in opportunities and relationships and fear of hurting others. It's like, man, this relationship has really a bad energy because it's actually encompassed through fear. And what happens is we kind of live misaligned and living incarcerated because of this fear mentality of letting people down, or fear of getting into a relationship and then being let down. So a lot of people, they're afraid of commitment because they're like, well, my last relationship didn't work well, or my last employee didn't work well, so why would I even try again? And that's a huge stymie for true development. And when you think of like quitting or being let down or a loss, you know, I think of like, I just went through 9 years of marriage and I got divorced not too long ago. And it was hard because I got 3 little girls. They're my angels, my princesses, and, you know, 6, 5 and almost 2. And, you know, there was this time where I was kind of trying to explain that. How do you explain that to a 6-year-old? How do you say like, hey, we're not going to be together now. You're going to have mom's life and then you're going to have dad's life. We're going to be living separate. And I think the 4 and the 2-year-old was like, meh, they didn't really comprehend it. But my 6-year-old, she's a lot more empath. She's a lot more emotional. And what was interesting is this element of I don't know why I have this up here. Let me turn this off. What's interesting is this piece to... I'm sitting there. It's one night, lying in bed, and I've... My whole life, like, the natural thing to say would be, you're never going to lose me. The natural... for every parent that would, you know, you might have a different opinion on this. That's why I'm trying to just tread lightly, but I'm just going to say how I'd say it. Most of the time, it's like, you're never going to lose me. Everything's going to work out perfectly. I don't want anything bad to happen to you. But I had this big aha moment where I sat down with Ellie and I just said, look, like, you're going to have people that break up. You're going to have relationships that you're going to lose. You're going to have death. You're going to have, like, that is the world. And for me to try to coddle you and tell you that everything's going to be perfect and you're never going to have anybody leave you is wrong. And I kind of like felt like it would bring her more turmoil through life, not understanding this principle. So I just said, there's going to be a time where I'm probably going to leave you and you're going to leave me. You're going to go to college and you're going to go get a boyfriend and not care about me in high school. And you're going to be like, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And I'm going to feel like you left me. And there's going to be times where you're going to feel like I left you, or you're going to spend more time with me, or you're going to spend more time with mom. And that's just part of life. And I said, but the biggest and most important piece is you don't abandon you. And out of everybody that you have relationships with, and out of everybody that you everything that you learn and deal with, if you have a practice of never abandoning yourself, never renegotiating with what you're committed to, never jumping out of alignment and leaving your truth and your true self, that's how you really achieve greatness and fulfillment in life. And I don't know how well she comprehended it, but it's something that I want to instill in my kids as they grow up, is just saying, like, hey, true accomplishment and achievement comes through the ability of never abandoning yourself. And we can rely on others, we can count on others, we can trust in others, but if we can't do that with ourselves, that's where life becomes almost a living hell. And there's Theodore Millen said, one response to feeling abandoned is to abandon yourself. So, like, if we are always feeling like people are abandoning ourselves, us, there's probably an element of we just don't trust and abandon ourselves. And so I'd invite you, if you're listening to this, to ask yourself, like, how often have you subconsciously created a pattern or a habit where you abandon yourself? And you don't even, like, you say a goal. So this is a perfect example. I watch so many people are like, I'm going to sell 300 this year. I'm going to make $1 million. I'm going to buy this car. And they end up abandoning their own true goals, or they're saying false goals. They're just blabbering out things that want to appease to the people they're telling them to, but they don't truly embody those goals. So when I truly embody, like, hey, this is my vision, this is what I'm going to accomplish, and this is what I'm seeking to achieve, I embody that. And I'm like, before I tell anyone, I'm telling myself, because I don't want to tell people, because that's where it gets real. Unless I've really embodied it and said it's me, like, I truly align with this, and then I march on and tell other people. Because it's one thing to get validation from everyone else, but it's another thing to get validation from ourselves. It's one thing to be abandoned by everybody else, or things or external events happen, but it's another thing to abandon ourselves and renegotiate with that. And it's been something that I treat sacred. It's like, I don't, you know, I remember sitting down with a friend and she was like, hey, let's do this vision board thing together. And I was like, I take my vision boards very serious and I almost don't share those. I would rather do this in private. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, like, for me, I want to really, really embody my own visions. And I don't want to feel like whatever you're spewing on me and I'm spewing on you is going to affect this future vision, because I take it so sacred. And when we're trying to accomplish things in life, we got to ask ourselves, like, how much of this is us and how much of this is trying to appease to somebody in our circle or of influence? And anyway, so hopefully you got some value out of this. Like, I'm here to try to give back. I mean, and work through these concepts of my book. And so it's just helping me kind of vet and just spew it out. So if I just spewed this stuff out on you, then great. And like I said, share this if you feel like maybe somebody in your network is like kind of on the self-sabotage or the self-abandonment, or they're maybe dictating their whole livelihood on external events, and they don't have this apatheia piece, and they're quitting, or they're on the verge of quitting. And this chapter is about, like, you don't have to quit. There's a time where you just come, and an alignment maybe isn't to stay in this, but it's all in alignment. But there's a time where it's like you're just uncomfortable and you don't like feeling pain, so therefore you just always give up when you feel pain. And with no pain, there's no gain. And so ask yourself, like, where is this balance emotionally? And then how often are you folding while things are tough? And that's a bad practice and a bad thing to get in. And bring consciousness to it. And you only know for you. And the problem is we look at external, like, opinions way too often, and that's what throws us out of alignment. So hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. And I love you guys. Subscribe on YouTube, Facebook, whatever that is, podcast app, Spotify. And we appreciate the comments below. Peace. Knocking, knocking, knocking.